Amen. Amen. All right. Open your Bibles to Psalm 84. Don't let me forget that meeting, guys. I mean, y'all may just forget it if I don't remind you, but y'all got to remind me, and I got to remind y'all, because I don't walk right out of here and forget it. My daddy, I may say more about my daddy. I'll tell you what, I've got a heavenly father and an earthly father. And he set a great example for me. And I think about him often. I know he'd love to see my wife and his children. And he will. Sometimes I make a few preliminary statements. Talking about families. The pro-life organization and the laws that are developing are facing accusation. And the accusation, one of the accusations is they're forcing women to be parents. Think about that just for a minute. They're forcing people to be parents. When did that decision come for them to be a parent? It's obvious. They're hopefully convincing people not to murder children.
Amen.
And I think I may have said this before, forgive me, but I think about this often. What about the rights of the father in an abortion? Don't he have some rights? I mean, that's sort of crazy, ain't it? That's real crazy. Well, there's no such thing that I've just heard of a grumpy grammarian, somebody that's into grammar, okay? There's no really such thing as a grumpy grammarian. That's somebody who studies words and the languages. And I agree with that, because you study this, you ain't going to be grumpy. And this is God's Word. It's more than just a fiction book. I really did like that. I really did like that. Well, I don't know if it'd make the meeting more better. They say food changes the mood of a meeting. And it does. It tones down the seriousness of it. So that's why kids brought an apple to their teacher in school, you know, to tone down a little bit. So I don't know. That don't mean we're going to start eating while I'm preaching. Don't get your hopes up. Somebody was done licking their chops. They sure were. My daddy was a country man, country boy, country daddy, a good daddy. He, a lot of things I think about that he didn't tell me, but my uncle did. One time I was born real late in life, and my uncle sort of grew up as his boys, staying with him, hunting and fishing. Mama had to be in the hospital some. Uncle Dennis stayed with him a lot up there on Sand Mountain. One time, Daddy, they were walking through the woods, squirrel hunting or something, and they seen a guy with a toe sack, and you don't know what a toe sack is, and I ain't got time to tell you what it is. It's a sack. And he had it on his back, and it's like Snuffy Smith. He had it full of chickens. And Daddy knew he'd been over to the farm and stole that man's chickens. So he gave Uncle Travis or Dennis, whichever one, the shotgun, said, "Hold it on him while I go get the sheriff." And they got him. They caught a chicken thief. They just about hang you to them old cowboys said, we hang people for stealing horses. And we hang people for mess around their wife. And he said, it's in that order. We'd hang them quicker for stealing our horse, and we wouldn't. But they caught the guy Uncle Dennis told me there was a well, and I don't know if the well was here or in ball play or up there, but Daddy was down in the well. Now, a well, you might know about a hole about that big, but this is a dug well. It's about that big in diameter. And they dig them around here. We drank that iron water. That'd make the commode yeller and the sink and everything else. Just about turn you yeller. But Daddy was down in the well. And that reminds me of another fellow, David Dean, was down in the well. And he had a guy helping him that was a little bit like not with it. And he said, "I need the pick." And the guy just threw it in the well. That's the kind of guy you need to help dig a well. He'll get the pick to you. So Daddy was down in the well. And he was cleaning out the well. He was, by the way, I got a message on cleaning out the wells for later. But so you get down in the well, and you know the rope, and then you get a bucket and you fill in mud up with the rocks or whatever, and then somebody's got the windlass pulling it up and dumping it and putting it back down. And Uncle Dennis was up there, and this is a true story. The other ones were too, but Uncle Dennis was pulling up a bucket, like a 5-gallon bucket of mud. That's pretty heavy. And the rope broke, the windlass broke, not the rope. And that rope, and Uncle Dennis grabbed the windlass. If you understand what I'm talking about, he grabbed it and just held on. It tore him. It just skint his skin and just down deep, and he saved my daddy's life. Now, that bucket would have hit my daddy in the head, and I wouldn't be standing here right now. But so you got a picture there of getting some water, okay? You don't have to turn here. Stay in Psalm 84, but in John chapter 4, Jesus said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Help us a little bit. Father, I pray. I really need some help today. And I know these people, there's a lot of people that need help. And I trust you and I deliver myself to you to expend myself. And may the power of God be present to change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 84... I'm going to prep you for these 12 verses, and ever so often, periodically through the year, the Jews would travel. Not everybody lived at Jerusalem. They lived off in the surrounding areas, pretty far away. And periodically, they had those given feast days. Passover just happened. And they would travel to Jerusalem by foot, mostly. You know, the average way of getting around back then was footing it, hoofing it. And they would travel. And before they would travel, they would be anticipating the time that they'd get to go to the house of God. And they called it the house of God. I hope that's our aspiration, that between Sundays we anticipate getting to the house of God. Amen. And then they get there to the house of God. But in between is the time of travel going to the house of God. And it's illustrative of coming to church, and it's also illustrative of going to heaven. And we've been talking to you about Rebecca, homeward bound, so you can keep that in mind. They're on the journey. Now, the anticipation, by the way, in the Psalms, which were actually sung, they're in like verses. Of course, the verses used to not even be in the Bible. Neither were the punctuations. And they were placed there by the translators in the English language for us. I'm not talking about the original, but I'm talking about in the English. So there's three parts to this psalm, and at the end of each part is the word Selah. And the word Selah means to stop, pause, and think about what you've just read and what you've just sung. And we need to do that while we're singing songs. We need to listen to what we're singing. Not just the melody, but the words. That's the way it is with a preacher. Is his deliveries not really should be, you know, somebody says, well, he's a powerful preacher, but what did he say? What's the content? What's the content? The first one of these stanzas is the idea of anticipation for the day they would go to the house of God. And they're thinking, verse 1, and how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. I mean, they're thinking about the beauty of that temple and the beauty of that place, and that one day they're going to get to go periodically through the year to go to that place. My soul longeth, the psalm says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. And they're anticipating the time they'll get to go with the people of God, to be at the house of God, to enjoy the presence of God. Do you? Or do you get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I got to go to church again? You're looking at a feller that I don't know where I'd be without y'all. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house. We're watching birds. We got a bird nest right out in front. I like birds, but we don't want people messing and walking in a messy place, walking in the house of God. But how do you tell a sparrow to move? Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. You're seeing it's getting beyond the individual now to the family and to the children. And I said, when I get to the house of God, I'm going to put my children on the altar. I'm going to tell you what, you may not be able to do that physically with them right now. They may be grown, but you can put your children on this altar and anticipate God doing a work in their lives. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall still be still praising thee, Selah. So it's going to be a happy time. People that decide to make a decision that they're going to be at church. The least little thing now hinders people from being at the house of God. You know, I worked 26 years in the insurance business, and I worked sick many days. I was at the Gunnersville courthouse, and all through that courthouse one time I was so sick I couldn't stand up. But I had to work. I had a family. You know, don't brag on me. You've done the same thing. You've worked sick. And God help you guys that are called out on a sick day when you're really not sick. I knew a woman, one of my customers. She, when she was young, she said that my friends wanted me to travel to Mobile down to the ocean. And she said, I had to work. And they said, call out sick. So she did. And she said, but about the time they got there, she had a toothache so bad, all the way back, she couldn't stand. She said, I ain't never calling out sick again. You know what? You lay out a church and you use the least little thing to keep you from going to the house of God, I hope your teeth rot out. Amen. the least little thing. He says, I can just make it to the house of God. That's a man, can you see the anticipation? You see it where the word says Selah, verse 4. Let's skip 5, 6, and 7, and 8. Here we get to the place of admiration. They're there. Behold our God. What? Behold our God, our shield. It's like they see God. Here he is. And through the Spirit of God, you can realize the presence of God at the house of God. You can do that. And it's a shame if you don't come anticipating the security and the God that you look upon the face of thine anointed. And look upon the face and you can see God and you can see the anointed. You can see Jesus by faith and you can realize His presence. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Now He meant that. He's not just saying that. He said, I'd rather spend one day in the house of God as a thousand somewhere else. Where would you be today? What would you do to hinder this wonderful spirit that's in the house of God? Or how would you trouble the work of God? No, you enjoy God and enjoy one another. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. Now that means, in other words, to have a great position out here in this world. He'd rather just be have the occupation of opening the door to let people in and out to be a greeter at the house of God than to be the president. For the Lord is a sun and shield. How much do you need the sun? You need the sun. Get out in the sun, friends. It'll make you healthy. But keep your clothes on while you're doing it. You say, well, I'm hot. You're crazy. You go out in 100 degree temperature and you say you got to take your clothes off to stay cool. You're crazy is what you are. Get you some loose fitting clothes and get out there and sweat it out a little bit. Let the sweat drip off the end of your toes and let God send a little breeze by and you'll be freezing to death. But I ain't never seen nobody out there without their clothes on frying like a piece of bacon. Saying, oh man, this is wonderful. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing would He withhold them from them that walk uprightly. What a promise in the presence of God, in the place of God where you're supposed to be. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. But what about the in between? What about verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. I was studying Oasis. And the best that I can find is the word oasis. It's not in the Bible. And an oasis is something that I thought I knew was, but it ain't. An oasis is not, you see these guys crawling in the sand and they're charred and thirsty and they see a mirage, and in that mirage is trees and a pool of water. An oasis doesn't have to have water. An oasis, the literal meaning of oasis, is a greenish looking place in the desert. No water there, no mention of no water there, but there's water there. Now, the idea is, if you will see here, verse 6, who passing through. Now, when he found that place, he didn't stay. He got refreshed, and then he moved on. Passing, you know, a lot of believers have just hung out in the desert. In trouble. You got to keep moving, friends. Who passing through the Valley of Baca. The word Baca means the Valley of Baca was a dry desert valley. No water there, no rivers, no lakes, nothing, no green place. No green place in Baca. Because, you know, going through the desert, you find that thing that's called an oasis, and, you know, if there's not any water there, you can dig, and not far down, you can find some water. But out there in the desert, no green place, no place to say, right here's where I'm going to dig. Because it don't matter with God to help you. You don't have to be in a green place. Matter of fact, if you're in a dry place in your life, if you're in a place of disaster, distress, discouragement, agony, wherever you are, you need to start digging. You need to start digging. Oh my, I know a little bit about digging down. I know that if I wait on God and just dig a little deeper, that I'll get some help. I know about that. I know what it means to, I personally know what it means to hit a low place more than once. And maybe you're a little bit different. Maybe you're always on the rise, on the run. Maybe happy-go-lucky. But you're looking at a fella that comes across dry places frequently. And I have to dig. And I have to look for water and find God and let God help me. It's not an easy thing living for God. Did you know that? It's war. It's a battle. It's a time where you get wore down and beat down. Who passing through the valley of Baca. Make it a well. So in other words, there's a place where there is no indication anywhere of any kind of moisture. And he says, right there in the middle of the desert, make your situation in a well. Make it be a well. Make it be a well. He said, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? The sun's shining. The sand's hot. My feet are burning. I ain't had no water. God said, wherever you are, make it a well. Make the well where there ain't one. Now listen. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Let me say this. This is these verses here, you see they're on the way to Jerusalem. And then they get there, but in between there's danger. And there is something called abscission. That's a new word for me. Maybe you knew it. It's A-B-S-C-I-S-I-O-N. You'll say, why do you study the dictionary? I got an old dictionary. And I started looking for words last night. You know, I didn't just start studying this message last night. But I looked for one S-I-O-N or T-I-O-N endings. So I found obsession. It started with an A. Obsession. It's the act or the process of cutting off or bringing to an end. And the idea is, it's the end for me. I've been cut off from God. I'm in the desert. There's no hope for me. Don't feel that way, child of God. Make Baca a well. Obsession. And then the word absorption. 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 And it means to be buried in. You say, you don't understand, friend. I'm buried. I'm under. I'm dead. No, you're not. You're still breathing, ain't you? It means to swallow up. It means the idea is this desert has swallowed me. And I don't have any hope. You know what you need to start doing? Start digging. You start digging. I thought about green places. There are green places. This is a green place. Matter of fact, it's got a green altar back there. The whole place is green. You got a green spring out there. You got a lot of green places that you can dig a well on. And if you can't find if you're colorblind, you just dig wherever you are, even if it's in the desert, and don't stop digging until you hit pay dirt. altar. The church is a green spot. Your home should be a green spot. The home, the women, your home shouldn't be a prison to you. It shouldn't be a dungeon. It should be a castle. Your job, men, should be a well to you, not a dungeon, not a desert. It ought to be a place where you can know God and feel God and see God, even though anybody else and everybody else ain't having nothing to do with God. And then there's a word called a cull. A-C-C-U-L. The word culture's in this word. Acculturation. Acculturation. Are you listening? It's got the word culture in it. And the idea of the word is against culture. It's the process of absorbing a new culture and new traits, especially by transference from another group or another group or another people. It's the idea, now listen, you have to listen. It's the process of absorbing, like you become a sponge to a new culture, new traits, especially by transference from another group or another people. And that is, in the desert, there's all kinds of people. In the desert, in Israel right now, there's Bedouins there that have been there for hundreds of years. They're used to living in the desert. That's their lifestyle. That's what they want. That's the way they live their lives. But I'm going to tell you something. I've decided that I'm going to do. I'm not going to live in the desert. I'm not going to be absorbed by another culture. I'm going to move on for God. And I'm going to go from well to well, from water hole to water hole, and I'm going to dig and get refreshment so I can get up and keep moving through this desert wasteland of a world. Let me tell you something. Listen. Boy, I'm just going to say this. In Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel said there'll be no more Canaanite in the house of God. Boy, that's a message right there. One of these days, there's something called the new liberalism, which is a collectivism under the leadership and identity. The old liberalism is out. The new liberalism is stealing of nationalism, and the idea of Brexit from England. Was that good or bad? That was good. They were not going to come in and let other people in other countries to tell them how they were going to run their country. I say amen for that. There's something called a collective state image idea. And the headquarters is in Brussels, and that's where it's coming from. And it's the destruction of nationalism and the destruction of patriotism. There's a man named Duggan. He's been called the most dangerous person in the world. He's working with Russia. And he says it's not about individualism. He said it's a unification with trans-Eurasian empire of all of it coming together. And that's what's going to happen under the rise of the fallen Roman Empire. It's going to come back together. The Imperial Russian Empire, he says the United States is the Antichrist, and we must wash the world in blood to prompt an apocalypse. I know I'm giving you stuff you may not have heard, but he said there's two major issues for total freedom. Here it is. Now the whole idea, getting back to when I'm going through the desert, by God's grace, I'm not going to become a desert lover. I'm going to be a desert mover. I'm going to be the road runner. You remember him? You're too young. I'm going to get on the run. Two major issues for total freedom. Number one, it's the freedom of genderism. Do you know what that means? Be whatever you want to be. Whatever you want to be. I've already told you that over at Hannah's in North Carolina, in the elementary schools and in the kindergartens, they've got sandboxes in the corner of the room. If a kid thinks he's a cat, he can go over there and act like a cat and use the bathroom. That's straight from my daughter. It's not a lie. If you want to be a cat, you can be a cat. Not only freedom of genderism, but freedom of humanity. Whatever you are. And it becomes a weaponized transgenderism where any anti-liberal, where the liberalism originate. And it originated through fascism, which threatens communism, threatens capitalism, and on and on and on. I'm not going to bore you with any more of that. But there's a fourth liberal theory. There's been three of them, and they're at the fourth one right now. And this, if it's not the last stage of liberalism, what else is it going to be? How worse is it going to get? Only God knows. Now let me just, there's something that I want to tell you, if I can find it here. Give me just a second. I'm just going to go by memory on this. And the idea is that there's drag queens right now doing their thing in elementary schools. And here's what they're saying. They're with these children, kindergarten little children. I know in the South, I don't see it ever happening in the South, but it could. So they're up there and they're getting those students to chant. They're getting them to chant, "Down with Israel." They said, if you love the drag queens, chant with me. "Down with Israel, down with Israel, down with America." What are we going to do? This man asked me last week, and we talked. He said, what am I supposed to do? I think we can pray and dig, and we can try to live right in this world and be an example, and don't be drugged down. And don't, this is a key word here. I'm going to finish up. This word of acculturism means to absorb the new culture and traits. You say, and the first thing is, well, I don't want to rock the boat, and I don't want to be called a weirdo, and I don't want to be, I don't want to cause trouble. I want to live in peace. God said they're going to say peace, peace when there is no peace. How are you going to be at peace with something like that out in the desert? I believe some of you are listening to me. There's a danger of traveling through the desert. The believer's headed through it, not to live in it. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Dig down to find water. Our responsibility. Our responsibility. You know, I got a late start, and I'm sorry, folks. I want to finish this. If you got to go, go. Our responsibility is to dig. You'll say, how do you know that? Look real closely at our verse. Who passing through the valley of Baca, that's the dry place. Make it a well. Turn around the situation. The rain also filleth the what? Pools. Where'd the pools come from? Where did they come from? Well, I wish I had a shovel. I was going to borrow one cheap shovel and dig some pools here today. But they dug down. Didn't find no water. And then they dug down again, didn't find any water. Before you know it, they get to thinking, God ain't here. God's not here. I've dug. I've tried my best. I've dug in a dry place. He said, the verse says, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. I've tried to dig a well. I'm tired of digging. And maybe you're just exasperated. God, where are you? Look at the verse. It starts to rain. And the pools get filled. And God said, you've done the best you can. And now I'm going to take over. And I'm going to give you some water. Okay, you ain't going to make it through the desert without any water. You see that idea? You see it? You know, you're looking at a fella that if I don't feel God from every now and then, I check my life. I see if I'm backslid. I see if I'm unconfessed sins. Matter of fact, I know if there's, And I, if I commit a sin, I confess it right then. So I say, what's wrong, God? What am I doing wrong? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know that verse. But there's a little bit more to this. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before the Lord. You know what? Every one of us is going to make it home. And we go from strength to strength. I don't know really how I want to do this. I've been thinking about it. What to do here. You can watch me with the camera. Help me with the camera. I'm going to show you something right here. That's the reality of this text. You see how they are in the desert and they dig and try to find water, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, and then God has to let it rain. And then you say, I'm sorry for doubting you, God. I'm sorry. You may not need no rain. I need it. I need rain. Every time it rains, physically, I say thank God for the rain. There's been times that I've drove from Georgia over there working, have my garden, it's about to wilt away, and I see the clouds over there towards center in Cherokee County. I see the lightning. I come into the rain, and it's just blowing it out, and I thank God for the rain. Closer I get to Mount Vernon, less rain it is, and I get to my house, ain't been a drop of rain. That's the same way with old Casey Jones, not the baseball player. Casey Jones, I've been to his play, I've been to his hometown. But up here on Sand Mountain is Casey Jones. He had 200 cows, breed cows. I had about, most I've ever had is about 20. So he had 10 times more than me. He was not of another faith. He didn't even believe the way we believe at all. He said, I got by my cows, and I prayed over every one of them that I would tithe on that calf, and every one of them had a good calf. I lost a cow and two or three calves that year. I tithe. I didn't get mad at him. I'm thinking, God, this just don't make no sense. I didn't get down and pray and put my hands on my cows. Maybe that's where I missed it. But anyway, this is it. They had a long way to go. Some of y'all got a long way to go to come to this church. Okay, and what happens is somebody had to start first. And the reason they had to start first is because they had longer to go than the people that live right up on the house of God. Some of them live 50 miles, 100 miles away. Some of them live 50, 20, 15, 25, 5. So the ones that live the furthest away, okay, I live the furthest away. So I'm anticipating seeing the house of God. I know I'm going to get there. I got the promise of God I'll get there. But there's a long journey ahead for me. Going across the desert. I'm the first one to leave with my family. Just pretend I got me and my family. And then go through a community, go through a place, get a little closer. I see old Clifton. Clifton, are you going to the house of God? Well, we better get going. Oh yeah, so good to see you, man. I just get to see you once a year at this Feast of Tabernacles and four times a year. And man, I missed you. I sure am looking forward to getting to the house of God. Ain't that something? From Sunday to Sunday, sometimes a long time. Yet we're back over here. You hanging in here. All right. Hey, how's that? So, hey, Philip, ain't you going? Ain't you ready? It's good to see you, Philip. I ain't seen you. Your brother ain't going, is he? Well, we can't make everybody go. You don't know what you're missing, son. We sure wish you'd go with us. We sure wish you'd go. We get along. We get on down to the 50-mile marker. Okay. Hey, young man. You believe in going to the house of God? Oh, you've been reading your Bible. You must be a Christian. You going with us? Hallelujah, man. It's good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is Clifton and Philip. Well, you know them. You've seen them last year, last feast. Getting a little closer. We're getting on down to the... We're getting on down. We're getting about 10 miles away. Hey, folks, ain't seen y'all in a long time. Y'all doing all right? Amen. You packed, ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. We got to get to moving. All right. You don't want to go, do you? All right, you're just a mile away. You ought to visit the house of God every day. Amen. Amen. Now, here's the thing. I'm out here trying to dig a well by myself. Back in yonder, when I first started, I was 100 miles away.
Right.
Done tried to dig a well, found one. But I tell you what, there's strength in numbers.
Right.
Boys, we need to dig a well. If you need to dig a well, let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and pray for us. Pray, pray, pray. Oh, let's hit water today. Let's strike water. What about it? Do you need a well? You need a drink? You need to dig? Come on, let's go. Let's go. Anybody needs to pray, come on. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. You come on and bring it to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. They passing through Baca. Passing through Baca. Make it a well. Make it a well. They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. And what that means is they go and pick up that other guy, pick up that other guy, and before long there's a mighty spiritual strength for the work of God. Wouldn't it be something if everybody in this building dug down deep with anything they've got to turn loose of, anything they've got to get with to get God, to realize God, to get refreshment from God. Father, thank you. I thank you for the kind attention of these people. Bless them, these that are come and help me with this demonstration, and also those that have come of their own free volition, those that are in their benches. I pray that you'll help them. Oh, God, Lord, we go through the desert. May we not be absorbed by the cultures of this world that will damn our families and homes, damn our nation. Lord, may we wait upon you, and when we're refreshed, we travel on. Bless in Jesus' name. Continue to praise. This invitation begins. There's others that may need to come. You bring your needs to the Lord and do that now. Would you do that right now? Come on. Come on.